Amen. Hallelujah, and give you peace. How many are thankful for the peace of the Lord this morning? Amen. There's a peace that passes all understanding. I will keep him in perfect peace. What? What's the rest of it? Whose mind is stayed upon me. Amen. We're going to talk about having your head in the game today. I mean, that's kind of a sports topic, right? Having your head in the game. I want to talk about our mind and our thinking and our thoughts. And we've been working on something since the beginning of the year, and I just felt like the Lord dropped the thought in my mind, bigger, better, and stronger. How many of you are ready for bigger, better, and stronger? In our life, in our own natural life, but also in your spiritual life, how many are ready for another level, for, you know, a bigger, better, stronger relationship, encounter, and presence? And, you know, it's easy to get comfortable where you are. It's easy to stay in a place where it doesn't challenge you. I just read a sign in my in my office back here before I came out that I believe Trish gave to me. It says, if your dreams don't scare you, they're not big enough. Anybody got any scary dreams? Those are the kind of scary dreams I want, right? I don't like them other scary dreams, but if your dreams aren't big, don't scare you, they're probably not big enough. Amen? Hallelujah. And so I want to talk about having your head in the game. I want to talk about our thoughts. I want to talk about if we're ever going, I want to talk about stronger today. Do you have any strong people in here? A couple of the ladies raised their hand. Thank you, Sean, back there. Come on. Do we have any strong people in here today? How many know you're stronger than what you think you are? Hallelujah. And so I'm thankful for the strength, though, that's not even just our own natural strength. How many know it's his strength? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. And so what gives you joy is probably what where your strength comes from. How many know when you are not joyful, it seems like you're weaker? When your mind is so clouded and so overcome with despair and you know, fear and doubt and hopelessness. How many know it's hard to be strong in those situations? Amen. So I want to talk about, we've talked about bigger, we talked about better. How many know we talked about Naomi came from a place of famine. When she came back, she said, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, call me bitter. For the Lord hath dealt severely with me, and I went out full, but I came back empty. How many know God was about to take Naomi from bitter to better? Yeah. Hallelujah. There was still a strength in Naomi that knew if I could get back to the land of my people, if I could get back to the land of my generations, if I could get back to Bethlehem, back to the house of bread, God can birth something in me again. I've been in a time of famine. I've been down in Moab. But how many know the way to change your situation is get on up out of Moab and start putting one foot in front of the other and head back to the house of bread? And when you get back to the house of bread, you'll find out that your Redeemer is there. How many can say this morning, my Redeemer lives? Hallelujah. Little did she know the kings were in the loins. The kings were in the loins and in the works of those who would find place with their Redeemer. Hallelujah. So we talked about better. I want to talk about stronger today. Hallelujah. Go ahead and bring 1 Corinthians 16 and 13. I'm kind of all over the place in my head today because I got a bunch of scriptures and I don't have time to get to them all. How hungry are you guys? Nobody's hungry. Good. We got a while then, right? We got some crackers. We got some, there's probably some cereal or fruit snacks in the kids' room. So if you get real hungry, go back and see the nursery and they'll help you out there. But I'll try not to keep you all day. Hallelujah. But I want to share some things. I want to talk about strength. I want to talk about being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, right? Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Amen? Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Go ahead and bring up Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, what? Finally, my sistern, what? I'm talking to both of you today. Be strong and in the Lord and in the power of his might. Go ahead. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Do you have 19? I know I only gave you to 18. We got a semicolon there. I didn't realize it. But that's okay. Yeah, go ahead. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. We'll stop there. How many know he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might? Yeah. Come on, somebody, show me your muscles. Put your arm up. Let me see your muscles. Arm and Hammer, baking soda box, right? Indy will do it, and then she'll kiss him like that. I'll give you two guesses where she got that from. How many know she knows how to show her muscles, right? How many know there's just sometimes you got to flex your muscles? Anybody ever, you know, there's some days that I get up and put on my glass slippers, and there's some days I get up and put on my combat boots. Is anybody in the house with me? There's just some days that you know the day is going to take a little more strength than maybe yesterday did. But we know that our power and our strength doesn't come through me, because when I am weak, he is strong in me. And so we know that. But the scripture encourages to put on the whole armor of Christ, you know, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. How many know the things? And he goes on to say, the things you're fighting is in high places. How many can say the biggest battleground you fight probably in your life is in your mind, in your head, between your ears? Our thoughts. See, it's not the person that cuts you off in traffic's your problem, it's your response to it. I'll turn around while everybody says amen. Right? The things we have the hardest time fighting sometimes are our own reactions and our own thought patterns and our own, you know, all of those kind of things. I told you, you know, a Sunday or so ago, I had to change the way I think about some things. And so, you know, we've been talking about, you can get so inundated with the news and social media and all the things that you hear, but then before you know it, you're complaining. And what happens when you complain? Your spirit, he said, I complained till my spirit was overwhelmed, right? Because we talk ourselves into fear and doubt. We get a pain, we talk ourselves into sickness. We get a bill, we talk ourselves into debt. Amen? And, you know, there's just sometimes, I told Dan the other night, I said, I'm going to go on to bed. I went, and I think maybe I told this here, I went to bed, I watched Green Acres. Green Acres is the place to be. Only problem with it is that woman's name on there is Lisa. My name's Lisa. But, I, because why did I watch Green Acres? Not to get a revelation, because I wanted to laugh. Amen? There's too much drama. There's too much chaos in the world to sometimes sit and watch all that intense stuff. So I went to bed, and I watched Green Acres. And it was Christmas time, and Lisa is going to make a fruitcake. Anybody ever seen the episode where she makes a fruitcake? Is it Mr. and Mrs. Ziffel that's the neighbors? Okay. So they, Mrs. Ziffel gives Lisa a recipe for fruitcake. And her husband says, you just know that you might just as well committed manslaughter. Because she was such a terrible cook, right? She said, you know she's going to kill him for trying to make that fruitcake. So she's mixing up this batch of fruitcake, and it says, put dried fruit in it. And so she makes the guy wash the fruit and dry it. He said, why are you having me dry the fruit? She said, because it calls for dried fruit. So she washes the oranges, she washes the pineapple, she sticks them in the pan like that to make her fruitcake, right? And so we laugh because it's funny and it's so outside of the box. But how many know our perception of things is we get distorted information. They told her put dried fruit in it. Now you and I know she's talking about dried raisins and dried dates, right? But sometimes how we perceive things and how we hear things and what we let talk in our ear. Yeah. Amen? How many know you, sir, sometimes you got to lean into Papa God and let him whisper in your ear something different than what everybody else is saying. And so we can get so caught up, and so our mind becomes overwhelmed with the voice of the enemy, whether that enemy is doubt or fear or discouragement, depression or oppression or hopelessness, whatever it is, those things begin to talk louder than his voice, right? And so he said, so put on the helmet of salvation. Understand where your salvation comes from, who your Savior is. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. You got to guard your heart. You got to know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You got to know what the Word says about you. Put the loins girt about with truth. What you are reproducing must be the truth. Jesus said, I am truth. Amen. Put on your shoes. How many know some days you got to get up and dress for success? You got to put on the whole armor of God. Now the armor of God looks different. It does. It's not a piece of metal that hangs around your neck, but it's girding yourself. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. How many know you got to change your thought pattern sometimes? You got to quit the stinking thinking, right? And so I want to talk about the power of the mind, but he tells him, gird yourself, because the things that we battle with, the things that we fight, generally aren't necessarily the things outside of us, they're the things inside of us. How many ever fought your own unworthiness, or your own insecurities, or your own insufficiencies, or your own limitations? And God wants to take off those things, and we begin to... when we begin to allow him to speak into our life, he said, you are all fair, my beloved. There is no spot in thee. You are righteous. You are the salt of the earth. You are a city set on the hill. How many know that's what Jesus says about you? Hallelujah. And so we need to begin to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. How many know worship can change? Worship can change things. I don't know about you, but I love corporate worship. Yeah. I love to come together in the house, and I love to see the dancing, and I love to see hands raised, and I love to feel the anointing and the flow. You know, we can worship by yourself, but when you come together in corporate worship, there is a river that flows out of our bellies. It draws something out of us that when we begin to present ourselves to God, I didn't just come for God to bless me today. And sometimes that's our intention and our mindset. We're going to come, Lord, just pour into me, pour into me. But if we ever come with an alabaster box full of precious ointment, and when we get here, we just pop the cork on that thing and start to pull it out. How many know the scripture said when she broke open that alabaster box, the fragrance filled the room. She had the attention of everyone that was in the room. How many know there is a fragrance rare of value, of valuable worth? Hallelujah. And so when we allow the Lord to saturate our mind, it's what I said this morning, just go ahead and prophesy that song over your family and your situation today, that your promises are to our children and to our generations. You are for me. You are for me today. Yeah. Hallelujah. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? So I was looking at a couple of scriptures today. One of the things we think of when we think of strength in the Bible, we think of strong. Who do you think of? Samson, the strong man, right? And Samson was, he was one of the judges of Israel. We know that in the time of the judges, everybody did what was right in their own eyes. And God began to raise up judges, and they would rule over the earth, and then the judges would go away, and the people would do what was right in the eyes of the Lord, I mean, in their own eyes again, and then God would raise up another judge. But how many know when God began to speak to Manoah and Mrs. Manoah, he said, I'm going to give you a son, and he's going to be set apart. He's going to be a Nazarite from the womb. Hallelujah. And there's a whole lot to that. I don't preach all that this morning. But anyway, we know the story of Samson. What was Samson's strength? What was his weakness? Women. Wicked city women, right? And so Samson, we know the story of Samson and Delilah, right? And so The scripture tells us that, you know, the story of Samson, he has great strength, he has great might, and all of those kind of things. But how many know he falls in love with a woman named Delilah? And I'm not going to read the scripture because I want to get to another one, but he falls in love with a woman named Delilah, right? And he lays his head in her lap, and he allows Delilah to entice him and to speak over him, and he gives her his ear. How many know where you give your ear, where you give your attention, where you give your energy to matters? And so Delilah, she is deceitful, and she tries to deceive Samson. And here's the thing about the story. Like Samson, Delilah, she might have been a wicked city woman, but Samson, his strength was weakened, again, by who he listened to. But let me just tell you, Samson was not the smartest at the time. Can I just say it like that? Because Delilah starts to say to him, and we know that the strength of Samson came in his hair, right? And the strength of Samson was in, he said, you're going to be a Nazarite, don't cut your hair, don't drink strong wine, don't do any of those kind of things. And so they want her to find out the secret of his great strength. And so he says, well, if you tie me up with ropes that have never been used again, then my strength will be gone. So she ties him up with ropes. They come in, have him tied up with ropes. She hollers and says, Samson, the Philistines be upon thee. He jumps up, he breaks the ropes, he goes out. That wasn't it. She said, Samson, you have mocked me. He says, all right, if they tie me up with green cords, then I will be the same as any man. How many know Samson was never designed to be the same as any man? He was set apart. He was consecrated. He was ordained. And so they tie him up with green cords. And they said, so the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he jumps up and he goes out. And she does this to him over and over and over again. Okay? Stupid is as stupid does. Right? Insanity, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting to get different results. Right? And so they go through all of this stuff, and finally he says, she's whining and she's crying, and he finally says, all right, my strength lies in my hair. If my head be shaven or my locks be gone, then will my strength go from me. So guess what Delilah does? Snip, snip. And every time we allow the voice of Delilah to be strong in our ear, snip, snip. Every time we let Delilah, or a voice of Delilah, and I'm not talking a person in particular, I'm talking about a voice that wants to sap your strength, that wants to sap your identity, that wants to steal who you are, begins to talk in your ear, and every time you give in to that voice instead of the voice of the Lord, it is snip, snip, right? And so they cut the hair of Samson. She hollers and says, the Philistines be upon thee. He gets and goes out in the strength that he thought he always had. And lo and behold, his strength is gone from him. They capture him, put out his eyes, take him down into the meal, and makes him grind corn for the enemy. How many know listening to the voice of Delilah will not only sap your strength, but it will also take your vision? Amen. They put out his eyes. It will keep you tied to a wheel of grinding corn where you go around in circles day after day after day grinding corn for an enemy, and then you finally come to yourself and said, how did I get here? How did I get in this place? Because I started listening to a voice other than the voice that I should have been listening to. Amen? And you know the story, the scripture says, but... Everybody say but. But means behold unveiling truth. His hair starts to grow again. Aren't you thankful that it's never the end of the story? But no matter where you find yourself, growth starts to happen again. Samson's hair starts to grow again, and he starts to find his strength. And they decide they're going to bring him out in the arena and make fun of him and make sport of him. And he brings him out in the camp of the Philistines. And when they do, they're mocking him. And he says to a young lad, take me to the stronghold of this house. Take me to the pillars of this house. And when they do, the scripture says that Samson killed more in his death than he killed in his life. He killed 3,000 Philistines by taking down the pillars or taking down the stronghold of the arena that was mocking him. How many know I believe there's been some arenas that have wanted to mock the children of God, but when we realize our strength is coming back, we are bigger, better, and stronger, and we take hold of some strongholds and begin to take some things down. How many know the Philistines have to go to flight? Because we remember who we are, and all of a sudden our strength starts to come back and God begins to give victory again. Can I tell you, it ain't over till it's over. And there have been some systems that have tried to mock us. How many know sickness and disease will want to mock you? How many know doubt and fear has been the voice that has been prevalent in our earth for way too long over the last couple years? And I just want to prophesy and declare that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. How many know some of the things that Samson had to pull down were strongholds? How many know you got to pull down some strongholds in your life? The very thing that'll mock you, the very thing that'll steal your vision, the very thing that'll sap your strength, the very thing that'll challenge your identity is the very stronghold you got to get a hold of and say, but my hair started to grow again. All of a sudden, I felt some strength coming back to me. All of a sudden, my hair started to grow. All of a sudden, I remembered who I was. All of a sudden, I heard the voice of those who were mocking me, and I said, today's not your day. Jump on my chest and wrinkle my vest, because God has given me my strength back again. How many are ready for your strength to come back to you again? Hallelujah. We're not weak. How many know sometimes we get weary, but weary does not mean weak. Hallelujah. And so he takes down those strongholds, and God gives him victory that day over the Philistines. Amen. And everybody say Delilah. She'll lie to you. Delilah, she'll lie to you. And Delilah's not the person sitting beside you on the pew. It's not the person that lives in your house. It's not the person you live with. It's the voice of opposition that steals your identity, your strength, your vision, and your purpose. Amen. And it may not be a person. It might be a situation. It might be whatever it is. But how many know God has ordained us in this hour to pull down some strongholds, I believe. Whatever your head is resting, that's what your mind is telling you. How many know John, the beloved, knew that he had to lay his head on the breast of Jesus to hear his heartbeat? The scripture said he was the one that laid his head on the breast or the head of his beloved. How many know he was the only one that could endure the foot of the cross? That when everybody else had walked away, John stayed at the foot of the cross. As brutal as it was, as challenging as it was. And I believe that's because he knew the heartbeat of Jesus. I mean, you got to be pretty close to hear the heartbeat of somebody. I want to put my head on the head of my beloved so that I hear the heartbeat of the Father. And that heartbeat says, he loves you. He loves you. He's got you. He's here for you. He's big in you. Hallelujah. I want to go to the last scripture. Not Genesis, but the next one. What did I give you? Huh? Yeah. Yes, that's the one I want, Kings. I want to talk about something this morning. When we're talking about the head, remember our head is our thought pattern. It's our high place. It's our psuche. It's our psyche. It's our soul. How many of David had to speak to his soul? Yeah. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you just comforted? Hope thou in the Lord. How many know David had to talk to himself? He said, soul, why are you cast down? Why are you just comforted? Why are you discouraged? The Song of Asaph, he said, I complained till my spirit was overwhelmed, but then I remembered my song in the night. How many know you got to, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What do you think about yourself? Do you think you're the righteousness of God? Do you think you're victorious? Do you think you're overcomer? Do you think you are who he says you are? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And it says, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. How many know there was an Elisha company? How many know Jesus is a part of the Elisha company? There was an Elijah, but he was the heavenly Elisha. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. Now I want to stop there for just a minute. Go back to that scripture and hold for me. But it said, she said, let's make us a chamber on the wall or in the wall. Let's make an upper room. Let's make a place for the man of God. And let's set him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. How many know you need to make a place for God in your life? You need to make a chamber and availability for the anointing of the prophetic voice to be in your house. Amen? How many know when the ark was coming back out of the Philistine territory, and they were bringing it back, it had been captured for 20 years, and they're bringing it back into, David wants to bring the ark back, and they're sending it back, and when they bring it back, they put it on a cart, and they have it carried by oxen. How many know it was never God's intention for beasts to carry the ark? It was intended for God's priesthood to carry the ark, right? And so when the ark is coming back into the camp of Israel, the scripture says that it starts to stumble, right? The oxen start to stumble, and grace and mercy looks like it gets off balance. How many know what they were carrying was a mercy seat? They were carrying the ark of God, the coffin, the presence of God. And as they're carrying it back, and mercy and grace starts to look like it gets off balance, and it looks like it's going to go down, and it looks like it starts to stumble, all of a sudden, we do what Uzzah does, and we want to put our hand to it and steady it, and we want to guard and guide God's presence, guide his mercy and guide his grace, and when we do that, it always brings death. Because you can't govern his mercy and you can't balance his grace. How many know it's much bigger than we are? And so when they decide they put their hand to it and they can't balance it and they can't direct it, all of a sudden when Uzzah dies by trying to do that because they weren't supposed to touch the ark, David said, what are we going to do with it now? I don't want to take it to my house. Everybody else, I'm not taking it to my church. This mercy and grace thing looks like it's out of balance, and nobody wants to take it home. But all of a sudden, they decide, we'll just take it to the house of Obed. I don't even know if Obed had a vote in it. They said, we're going to take it to the house of Obed-Edom, the Edomite, and nobody, when nobody else wants to take grace and mercy, I want to tell you, folks, bring it to my house. If you want to bring the grace and mercy anywhere, go ahead and bring it to my house, because when they take it to the house of Obed-Edom, the scripture says all of the house of Obed-Edom starts to prosper. All of a sudden, the daughter-in-laws are having twins and triplets. All of a sudden, the cattle are reproducing. All of a sudden, the atmosphere in the house of Obed-Edom starts to change. Why? Because somebody said, if you don't want it, I'll take it. I want the presence of the Lord in my house. Bring it to my house. I'll take it. And the scripture said it was there for 3 months. And word got to the king that the house of Obed-Edom is being blessed because the presence of the Lord is there. And the king said, go get that ark and bring it up to my house. How many know when you bring the presence of the Lord into your house, into your car, into your job, into your kids, into the chambers of your home? How many know things have to start to change? There's something happens when the presence of the Lord is in your house. There's something that happens when the presence of the Lord is in this house, because all of a sudden His mercy is set loose. All of a sudden His grace starts to operate. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to have a house that doesn't have the mercy seat in the forefront that says, no matter what, God's mercy and grace will carry me. And so he's got the ark, the house of Obed-Edom. And the king starts to hear about it. Can I tell you, people will start to hear about it when your house changes. Amen. You know, the thing that was the greatest testimony about my mom and dad was their house started to change. They decided to take a mercy seat home with them one day. And when they did, an alcoholic quit being an alcoholic. A barmaid quit being a barmaid. And God started to bring deliverance in the house of Obed-Edom. And the nations of the earth started to hear that something happened in the house family, because they decided one day that they were going to take the ark home with them. Come on, somebody. There's something happens when you take the presence of the Lord inside this house. There's something that changes. There's something that happens. David said, go get that ark. Bring it up to my house. Oh, what 3 months will do. Obed-Edom only had it 3 months. You know what happened? They get that ark, and the ark's going up the road, and David sees it coming. And the scripture that said David starts to, the scripture says he danced naked. How many know sometimes you got to have some crazy praise? Now, what he did is start to throw off his royal robes and everything that identified him as king at the moment, and stood humbly before a mercy seat. But how many know sometime when you see the presence of the Lord coming, you got to throw off the robe of your identity of who you are and start to have some crazy praise, because the presence of the Lord is coming back into the house of Israel. Hallelujah. Yeah. And so they rejoiced, because what they had lost had been found. What they thought was dead was coming back to the house of the Lord. And not only was the house of Obed-Edom going to be blessed, but the house of David is going to be blessed, because somebody decided to take the ark back to their church. Grace gets greasy. Grace gets crazy. We want to give grace to the people we think deserve it. I mean, you can't balance His grace. You can't balance His mercy. But there is a priesthood that's trying in this day. There is a priesthood that's trying to put their ark to it and say, we got grace and mercy, but we want it to go this way and that way. And we want to direct it. And we want to put our hand to it. And we want to call the shots. And God said, you can't measure my mercy. You can't measure my grace. You don't get to decide who gets it. And when man tries to control it and puts their hand to it, every time it brings death in someone's life, because all of a sudden they feel like they're not worthy. They're not worthy to take it home. But I want to tell you this morning, bring it. Bring it on. Bring it to my house, because I want it in every chamber of my house. I want it in my kitchen, because I believe the Ark of the Covenant, I believe God's mercy and His presence will help you know how to eat. His governing presence. Amen? Maybe that seems too practical. I want it in the living room. I want it in the bedroom. I want it in my relationship. I want it in my family. I want it in my home. I want to take it to my job. Because the presence of the Lord, when it begins to operate, there's blessings and bounty and increase that comes when you take the presence of the Lord into the house. Amen? Hallelujah. And so they take it back out. He throws off his robes. His wife despises him in her heart and said, look at you, the king, dancing like a foolish man in front of all your people and in the house and in the streets. And the scripture said, and Michael was barren all of her days. See, because what happens when you don't embrace his presence, it leaves barrenness. It leaves emptiness. It leaves unfruitfulness in your life. You can mock it, or you can carry it, or you can dance before it. Bishop Levister said down there the other day, he said, the Lord said, I'm going to give you the miracle, but you're going to dance for it. I mean, if some of us need to put our dancing shoes on. You need to put your dancing shoes on. You need to start to rejoice in the face of whatever God is speaking. Say, Lord, I'm just going to dance with all my might, because the presence of the Lord is in the house. That was a little sidetrack, but it says, let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, and it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn hither. How many know in that chamber, Just real quick, I want to say this. In that chamber, they set a table. How many know the scripture says, well, let's go back. He says, they set for him a bed. How many know a bed speaks of rest? Being able to have rest in your heart, in your mind, to be at rest even in the midst of chaos and adversity. I mean, Jesus modeled that when he was in the boat and there was a storm of epic proportion and the disciples are all bent out of shape and they're like, they know Jesus is on the board and on the boat and he's not doing nothing. And the disciples go down to them and they shake him and they said, Master, don't you care that we perish? Jesus is asleep in the hinder part of the ship. How many know sometimes when things look like they're chaos and out of control, you need to wake him up inside of you? You need to realize that the master of the ship is inside of you. Yeah. And they said, Master, don't you care that we perish? I think the thing that probably come to Jesus the most is said, don't I care? You might see yourself in the middle of chaos, but you don't ever have to wonder if I care. You don't ever have to wonder that I care. Because when the multitude's hungry, we'll feed them. And when the lame are crippled, we'll heal them. And when the blind are blinded, those who have blind eyes, we'll open the eyes of the blind. You don't ever have to wonder if I care. But he's in the midst of us. But when he's at rest, he models a posture of rest. So he said, I want you to set for him a bed, a place of rest. And I want you to get a table. I mean, no, the scripture says he prepares a table before us, where? In the presence of my enemies. That he sets a full course meal. Because what you feed on matters. What you eat matters. So he puts a table. He said, I have prepared a table for you in the presence of mine enemies. When David was stuck in the cave of Adullam, and he goes to the house of the priest of Nob, and he said, do you have any bread? He said, all we have is holy bread. All we have is the table of showbread. Only thing we have is holy bread. I don't know about you, but I think bread's holy. I love me some bread. But not just natural bread. I love the bread of his face, the bread of his presence. And so he said, put a bed there, put him at rest, put a table there that has the table of his showbread. He leaves that place with the sword of Goliath in his hand. He never uses the sword of Goliath. But how many know it's a reminder of some past victories and things God has already brought you through? And he goes back to a cave of 400 men that are discomfited and in a despair and feeds them some holy bread, feeds them some hallowed bread. How many know when you begin to feed off of the table of his presence, it starts to change atmospheres even in the cave? It's a table, a stool, a candlestick. Jesus said, you don't put a light under a candlestick and put it under a bushel. He said, I am what? The light of the world. What she's saying is, let's make a place for the presence of God to reside in our house. And so she does that. Move on. Verse 11. And it fell on a day that he came hither, and he turned in the chamber, and he lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is it to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken of for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she said, answered, I dwell among my own people. I mean, she wasn't looking for fame and fortune. She was looking for presence. I'm not looking for titles. I'm not looking for opportunity. I'm looking for presence. You don't need to say my name before kings and magistrates. As long as he says my name, that's all that matters. She said, I dwell among my own people. He said, what then is it to be done for her? And Gehazi said, verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when she called him, she stood in the door. I mean, sometimes you got to stand in the door. Amen. Until God begins to speak the next season of your life. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto your handmaiden. Have you ever had a promise you thought was just too big? Amen. That sounds wonderful, man of God, but don't lie to me. That just sounds like it can't be. It sounds like it can't happen. And the woman conceived and bare a son that season that Elijah had sent unto her according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. This is one of the points I want to make today. He goes, he's full grown. He's out in the field, but he's working in the heat of the day. He is working and sweating out in the field, and all of a sudden he hollers, my head, my head. His dad says, carrying to his mother, and the lad dies. Can I tell you that the chaos in your head, I don't know about you, but sometimes over the last 2 years, and in all of the crazy that's been going, whether it's been war or virus or sickness or death, sometimes I just want to say, my head, my head. My head is so full of just everything, and everywhere you turn, there's doubt or fear or, you know, there's something else coming up, and it just seems like my head is so full of junk and everything. I've always said, I wish somewhere on the back of my head there was a little switch that when I would go to bed today and when I would go to bed at night and I start to worry and fret and get concerned over things, I could just flip that switch off till I get a good night's sleep, because I know in the morning if I could turn my brain off, I could get up and hit it again. Anybody in here with me? There's been times when I'd said, my head, it's so full of taking care of everyone else, and it's so full of the news, and it's so full of sickness, and it's so full of loss that we find like that we're in despair. But he said, take that boy to a woman who knows how to get in a chamber, who understands the presence of God, and they take him to his mama, and his mama said, saddle up. I love this. She's one of my heroes of the Bible. She said, saddle up, get my chariot ready. I'm going to the man of God. Don't you back up. Don't you slow down. Don't you do nothing unless I tell you, but saddle up, because we're going to see the man of God. How many know there's sometimes mamas and papas that you got to settle up? I don't care what you see around you. I don't care what's controlling the head of your children or your generation, but I'm going to speak over some heads this morning and said it might be full of everything else. But if you get a woman of God, the church, that'll stand up and say, bring them to me. Bring them to the house, because I'm going to settle up. I'm going to go to the man of God, and I'm going to say, man of God, you promised me. You promised me my generations. I didn't ask you for a son. I didn't ask you to be in this situation. But his head is so full of working and sweat and pain and despair that I'm going to go to the man of God, and I'm going to say, man of God, you got to come to my house. And they bring that, she drives that chariot so hard that Gehazi said, here comes that woman, and I don't know what's going on. Elijah said, go find out what's going on. She doesn't even stop for him. She rides in, she falls at the feet of Elisha. Elisha says, Gehazi comes to get her away from the man of God. Said, let her alone. I don't know what's going on. God's not revealed to me. She said, man of God, I told you not to lie to me. I didn't ask you for a son, but you gave me one. I didn't ask you to be in this position, but I'm here. I got a son in this hour. How many of there are sons even that sat in the house for years in an hour whose heads are in torment and are so full of fear and doubt and confusion and not knowing which way to go? She said, I got a son, and those sons need you to come. He said, Gehazi, take my staff and go with the woman of God and lay that staff on that son that he could be healed. But Gehazi took a staff and laid it on his son. But how many know the staff don't heal? The staff don't heal. Moses operated with a staff, right? The staff don't heal, but when the man of God got in there, he said, I'm going to put my body against his body. I'm going to go into a secret place, and I'm going to shut the door. And I'm going to shut the door to doubt. I'm going to shut the door to fear. And I'm going to go in, and I'm going to lay upon the body of that young man. And I'm going to go face to face. How many of those times you got to go face to face with the prophetic word that God has spoken over you and declare it way more than anything you see? And I'm going to go eye to eye with him. I'm going to go nose to nose with him. I'm going to go heartbeat to heartbeat with him. And when I do, he said he got up. Nothing had happened yet. He went back again, and he laid down on that young man. He said all of a sudden something started to happen, and he started to sneeze. I don't know about you, but I'm about ready for a sneeze. Come on, somebody. I'm about ready to see that, where there is a prophetic word and the man of God and the provision and the chamber and the presence of the Lord that starts to cause everything that looked like it was dead to come alive again. Everything that looked like it was lost is being found, and the promises of God are yes and amen. And I don't care what looks dead to you this morning. I'm going to declare that if you'll put your mouth to it and you'll start speaking life and you'll put your eyes to it and start seeing a vision of what he's doing, and when you just start declaring the word of God over your situation, all of a sudden, somebody starts to come back to life again. Hallelujah. I want to be a voice in this hour that begins to bring life into a generation that has seemed dead, or to some sons that have been in despair. Amen? Yeah. Any of you got caught up in the chaos of the moment lately? Man, it just seems like sometimes it comes from every angle. And the devil start telling you that business ain't gonna make it. That marriage ain't gonna make it. You're not gonna have the money. The finances aren't gonna be there. That diagnosis isn't gonna be in your favor. That your kids aren't gonna make it. Hallelujah. And when we start hearing those things, and after a while, it's like, my head. Hallelujah. But when we allow the prophetic voice of God to begin to speak, God begins to change things around. Amen. And I believe there's a woman in the earth in this day, and I'm talking about the church. There's a woman on this day that says, saddle up. Get my chariot, because I'm not settling for this. Come on, somebody. Any mamas in the room, any papas in the room, said, saddle up, because I'm not staying here. I'm not settling for this. This looks too much like death. I'm going to head for life. I want to see something come alive again. I want to see something reproduced. I want to see the generations know the prophetic voice of the Holy Spirit and begin to be drawn to that. Amen? Hallelujah. Jacob laid his head on a stone in a dark place at night. Amen? In your night season, sometimes you got to lay your head on a stone. And when he did, God began to speak to him out of that place. How many know Jesus is the stone? Jesus is the rock. And we put our head on that rock. We get our head in the game. Amen? Any coaches in here ever said to your team, get your head in the game? What's that mean? What's it mean to get your head in the game? Focus, right? Come on, where's your brain at? What are you thinking about? Focus. How many know where we focus our eyes on matters? I'm guilty of looking everywhere else, and my eyes are looking in an earthly realm instead of looking into a heavenly realm. Anybody in the room with me? Focus. Hallelujah. Our focus must be on him. And when he began to focus in the heavens, he started to see in the heavens open. And angels were ascending and descending. Hallelujah. How many of you have access to an open heaven today? Hallelujah. But where you lay your head matters. In other words, where your thought pattern, where your mind is, what you're thinking, where your focus is, matters. Because if you don't have your head in the game, you're not going to have your heart in the game. Right? You don't have your head in the game, you're not going to have your heart in the game. Stand with me this morning as Beth plays on the keyboard. Hallelujah. Bigger, better, stronger. Thank you, Jesus. Strength of our mind. Hallelujah. Understanding his purpose, his voice is the final say. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus, or you need an encounter with Jesus, come on down. We'd love to pray over you, pray with you, pray for you. Hallelujah. If you need a touch from the Lord, if you need a touch, whatever the Lord's laid on your heart, if there's something that you need today, come on down. And we would love to pray with you. If you want to make a declaration, you can raise your hand and say, Lord, I declare today. Come on down, sweetie. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Anybody else? Come on down. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Koranda moko sika telala mohandai. Rima mama handai shika telala mohandai. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Anybody else? You make a step, make a declaration, saddle up, baby. Hallelujah. It ain't over till it's over. Hallelujah. I'm going to get to a high place. I'm going to find out what the prophetic word is. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you guys come and pray with us this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Father, we speak life in Jesus' name. Lord, we speak the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you today, God, that you have brought her to this place for such a time as this. Lord, this is her day. This is her moment. This is her encounter. Father, I thank you that you are stirring from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, we speak life to every situation. Lord, we speak clarity to her head. Father, no more torment, no more thoughts, Father, other than the thoughts of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Koranda mokosi katelala mohandai. Rima mama handai shi katelala mohandai. We speak life. We speak hope. We speak health right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord, we speak life. Father, we speak life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I just hear the Lord saying that he will prepare a table before you right in the presence of your enemies. In other words, he's going to begin to give you some things to feed on for your mind and your spirit right in the presence of whatever the opposition is. He leads you into green pastures to restore. I hear the word restore over you. Hallelujah. To restore your soul. He leads you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And when he says that, it doesn't, because people preach that a lot of times at a funeral. But he's not talking about dying in the valley. He's talking about, I'm going to take you by the hand and lead you through. The key word is through. I'm going to bring you through. Hebrews 11 says, through faith, they stopped the mouths of lions. Through faith, they left Egypt. By faith, they did this. By faith, they did that. I hear the Lord saying, a fresh courage and faith is going to begin to arise in you, even as you heard Pastor speak this morning. And some new thoughts are going to begin to come to your head. And God is going to begin to orchestrate some things. Hallelujah. One of the bishops that was in the meeting this weekend was talking about angelic activity. I hear the Lord saying, God will give his angels charge concerning you. Hallelujah. There's some angelic movement that's around your situation and circumstance as God begins to step out of the invisible realm and manifest some things in the visible realm. And this day will begin to be a turning point as you see the hand of the sovereign Lord begin to roll up his sleeve and make bare his holy arm. I see God just like he would flex his muscle. Hallelujah. And he's a big God. He's a big God. Hallelujah. He's too big to describe. He's too big to fail. Hallelujah. He's too big to let us lose. And I just see the Lord saying, I'm going to roll up my sleeve and begin to fight the battle on your behalf. Hallelujah. And a fresh peace. We speak a peace that passes understanding, a peace that comes from rest, and rest comes from a confidence to know that God's got this. Hallelujah. So I don't know what the circumstance is, but I just hear the Lord saying, hallelujah, I'm very aware and acutely aware of your heart this morning, and it has reached the throne of grace, not a throne of judgment, but a throne of grace. Hallelujah. I hear the Lord saying it's not based on who deserves it or who doesn't deserve it. It's based on the goodness of God. Because God's a good God and He's good all the time. He's not just good when we're good. He's good all the time. And His thoughts towards us are thoughts of peace and to bring us to a determined end, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. If anybody else in here needs that, say, I'll take that. I receive that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Turn it around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Come bless the Lord. Come bless the Lord. For He is good.
He is good.
Sing out.
I just hear the Lord saying that the tide is turning for you. With every, you know, if you go to the ocean, there are ebbs and flows of tides going out and tides coming in. But I hear the Lord say this is a turning of the tide where the tide is coming back in. I hear the Lord said a fresh wind is about to blow on your life and in your sails to lift you to a place where the discouragement and the weeping that has endured for the night is about to pass away. And the Lord is about to bring some fresh things into your life. Hallelujah. It's a brand new season for you. I hear the Lord saying the tide is turning in a massive way. And there have been a season where there's just been this wandering in your mind and this emptiness, even in the night season. And even all a discouragement. But I heard the Lord say, lift up the hands that hang down, strengthen the feeble knees. Say to them who are of a fearful heart, fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame man shall leap like a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall speak. For in the wilderness and in the desert, in your dry place, waters shall break out and streams in the desert. And I hear the Lord saying the river's about to flow again. A fresh joy, a fresh life. I hear the Lord said He's breathing fresh life and encouragement. Hallelujah. I really feel like there's even some things that the Lord is orchestrating in the very near future that's just going to be some really incredible good things that are about to happen on your behalf. I don't know if they've already begun to happen, but I hear the Lord say, open your heart to, hallelujah, because God is about to turn your weeping into joy and your mourning into dancing and your sorrow into joy because the tide has turned and the waves are coming back. Hallelujah. And it's a brand new fresh season. and a favor on your life, says the Lord your God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Feel like the Lord's touching your body this morning even. I just feel like there's some healing going on. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord, we just speak healing to her body and strength in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hear the Lord saying for you, Bob, that there's just a refreshing season. Where they've been weary, weary, weary. And not just so much physical, but mind weary. But the Lord said, I'm going to bring you into a new rest. I hear the Lord saying, don't entertain some of the thoughts that the adversary has tried to attack you with, even as you have struggled with weakness, even in your physical body. I hear the Lord saying, hallelujah, take your focus off of even thoughts of death and take your thoughts and shift them towards the provision of life and the extension that God wants to do in your life and in your days and even in your senior years, that there are great days that are yet ahead of you. I speak even to the dizziness that comes over you from time to time that makes you feel like staggering, that the Lord just restores to you right now in the name of Jesus, even physically to you. But I just speak a strength to you. I speak of an encouragement over your life. Hallelujah. 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 We speak encouragement in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 There's still some things God has, hallelujah, to distribute through you, in you, and through you. Hallelujah. There's value. And the Lord said, you're going to begin to find some things that give you, find out that you really are needed in some things. The Lord has need of you. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Every heart clear this morning? Amen. Everybody say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
God bless you.